welcome to Icky Ichabod's Weird Cinema, live from Grand Forks Best Source. I am Icky Ichabod, and this is my friend, the Wizard of Weird. And you're in my movie mortuary, so get a hold. You know, I told everyone a few weeks ago that we're going to be doing James Bond June. Well, what better to kind of kick that off than to do Austin Powers? So we're going to do Austin Powers in Goldmember tonight, which was probably my favorite of the three Austin Powers movies.
Icky, for those that are unaware, for the younger viewers, why does Austin Powers relate to James Bond?
He's a spoof of James Bond.
There you go.
It's all satire of James Bond, you know. I'll get into that in a little bit when I start talking about it, about how it's a spoof, before we actually get into the actual movie. But first, we need to have a shout-out to our friends at River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Make the River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill your next dinner and a movie destination in the River Mall in East Grand Forks. Either dine inside the movie memorabilia-packed restaurant, the Shire, or take your meal to the movie you're attending. Some of this week's featured attractions are Star Wars Phantom Menace 25th Anniversary, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, Civil War, Arthur the King, Godzilla and Kong, and Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Find the complete showtimes online at rivercinema15.com. Don't forget about the Tuesday $5 movie special all day long and the $5.50 senior matinee special on Wednesdays and Thursdays. The River Cinema has luxury recliners and expanded concessions that now serve adult beverages and is family-owned and operated. You know, I got to go back to the Shire. They have such great food there. The Wizard would agree, too. He likes it, too. Yes?
Yes, I do. I like the Shire. It has some cool stuff. I like the Green Goblin mask that's in there.
Really? You like the Green Goblin?
Yes, he's my favorite Spider-Man villain.
I thought Dr. Octopus was your favorite Spider-Man villain.
I don't know. Just being weird.
See, he even said he's being weird. So, but we're going to talk about Austin Powers. All right, Austin Powers is basically a spoof of James Bond. Both are British spies. Both work for MI6. You know, and they're both fighting a guy, Dr. Evil. You know, but actually, Dr. Evil is not just one character that he's influenced by, but two characters. And that's Blofeld and Dr. No. Like the face with the scar is Blofeld, or however you say his name. He was a main villain in the James Bond films for like maybe 10 films, 12 films. It was a lot of films. But the most famous Blofeld would have to have been Donald Pleasance, because he's the one who played the one with the scar. And later in the series, Blofeld gets plastic surgery to look different and things like that. But and then Dr. No, he dressed, you know, Dr. No and Dr. Evil wear the same kind of Nehru jacket kind of thing. So Goldmember is basically Goldfinger. He's obsessed with gold. In the movie, and I forget what James Bond movie it was, Goldfinger is trying to irradiate the world's supply of gold. In this movie, Goldmember, he lost his genitalia in an unfortunate smelting accident. And he's nuts. He even says, Austin goes, "You're crazy." And Goldmember goes, "And that's the way, I like it." But, Goldmember is just obsessed with gold. And then Foxy Cleopatra is a spoof of basically every James Bond woman, girl, whatever you want to call it. Number two, I was trying to find who he was a spoof of, but I can't remember his name right now. There was a character in James Bond that wore an eye patch and was called Number Two also. But basically, Austin Powers has to save his father, or his Faja, as Goldmember said, "That is Faja." And, yeah, he has to do all of this while fighting Dr. Evil, while fighting Goldmember, who's, there's a meteorite called Midas 22 that's made completely of gold, and Goldmember and Dr. Evil make a tractor beam to lure Midas 22 into the atmosphere, hit the polar ice caps, and melt the polar ice caps so there'd be a world flood. So, then you got, you know, the other people in the movie, like Basil Exposition, who is reprised from the role. Michael York plays him again. He's one of the more reoccurring characters. Seth Green is Scott Evil. I like Seth Green. I don't know why. I just like Seth Green. I like Robot Chicken. I like Family Guy. Seth Green is just a great actor, especially he knows how to be evil. Seth Green plays Scott Evil in this movie, and Scott is slowly becoming like his father. But in the first two movies, he like goes, "I want to open up a petting zoo," and Dr. Evil goes, "An evil petting zoo?" Or he goes, "I want to be a vet." He goes, "An evil vet?"
It's kind of like the Orange Cassidy of the Austin Power movies, right? In the first two movies? Kind of a sloth?
Yeah. Well, you know, the first two Austin Power movies, I forget. I know the first, I don't remember what the first one was based after, but the second one was based definitely Moonraker. Moonraker, definitely. If you're going to compare The Spy Who Shagged Me to any James Bond film, it would be Moonraker. Because the end of it just takes place on the moon in space and stuff like that. But you know, I think the breakout character in this movie was definitely Goldmember, because he was just so quirky. At the end, they open up the film. They're talking about this movie called Austin Pussy instead of Octopussy, which was a James Bond film, and they have like. You think it's Austin Powers at the beginning, but it's really Tom Cruise playing Austin Powers. Kevin Spacey played Dr. Evil. Mini-Me was Danny DeVito. And then at the end of the movie, when they finish the movie at the end of the movie, John Travolta was Goldmember. So there was a line that Nigel Powers said, who was played by Michael Caine, I believe. Yeah, Michael Caine. And he goes, "I hate people who are inconsiderate about people's cultures and the Dutch." Which basically is contradictory to what he's saying, because he says he's not racist, but he doesn't like the Dutch. But in this movie, you find out Austin Powers' origin story, where Nigel Powers, who was a spy also, actually, you know, there was an assassination attempt on him. And he thought only Austin survived, and Dr. Evil got adopted by these people from Belgium. And he said, "They made him so, I would have told him earlier, but they made him so damn evil." Another great actor in this movie, even though he has no lines at all, was Vern Troyer, who played Mini-Me. Vern Troyer. I may have talked about this film in the past, but I'll never do it because it's just too scary for me. It's Pinocchio's Revenge, and Vern Troyer played the Pinocchio doll in Pinocchio's Revenge.
Well, the trilogy of Austin Powers movies, they were in the pop culture zeitgeist for those several years they were coming out. I lost track of how many people were saying the countless Austin Powers catchphrases in the school or college halls at the time. It was everywhere.
Well, you know, and Mini-Me was cool, but there was a character that was not in this movie that should have been, Mr. Bigglesworth, the cat, because that's a definite bring back to how I said Blofeld, or however you say his name, from James Bond, is like Dr. Evil. Because in a lot of the movies, Blofeld would just be sitting there petting a cat, a Persian cat.
Yeah, it's like each Austin Powers movie kind of like took elements not just from one Bond film, but probably from like two or three.
Well, I'd have to say that this movie is a mixture of Goldfinger and Diamonds Are Forever and GoldenEye.
Yeah, and this came out in 2002.
Yeah, and I think the last Bond movie came out in 2012, which was Skyfall.
Oh, no, no, there was just No Time to Die was like 2 years ago.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yep. I thought Skyfall was the last.
No, no. Yeah, there was five Daniel Craig ones. No Time to Die was, I believe, his final role as James Bond, and that was like 2 or 3 years ago.
It's kind of cool. You know, the same person played Austin Powers in all three movies.
Well, not only that, but Mike Myers played
like
four roles in this film.
Member, Austin Powers.
He's trying to top Eddie Murphy for multiple roles in one
film.
Well,
you know, Eddie Murphy did that in The Nutty Professor.
Yep, that's what I was referencing, yep.
But, you know, I've always liked Mike Myers, even when he was on Saturday Night Live. And he did that Wayne's World. Is that right, Wizard? Did he do Wayne's World?
Yes, he did. He did Wayne's World. Tell him about Ming T, though.
Oh, Ming T. Yeah, I forgot about Ming T. That was the skit that started off the Austin Powers, because there was a band called Austin Powers and Ming T, or it might have just been called Ming T, and it was this like hippie band from like the 60s that would play. I believe it was on Saturday Night Live. And it was the skit that inspired Austin Powers, because Ming T, the band, has performed in all three Austin Powers movies.
So what do you think about Mike Myers' ability to pull off all four roles? Is it a little too over the top, or are there some characters you couldn't tell it was him until you learned after the fact?
You know, in the first Austin Powers movie, for like the first 20 minutes, they never showed Dr. Evil's face. They would show him from behind, or there would be like a cover over his face, so you didn't know that Mike Myers was Dr. Evil. But, you know, being able to do all these accents the way he does, you know, like Fat Bastard with the Scottish, the Dutch with Goldmember, the weird voice with Dr. Evil.
Yeah, he's quite versatile. And
there's actually a character in this movie named Mr. Roboto, though. He's the one who made Preparation H. And no, I'm not talking about the hemorrhoid cream. They have the tractor beam that's going to pull Midas 22 down to Earth is called Preparation H. And he goes, Preparations A through G have been a complete failure. Now it is time for Preparation H. And Scott just goes... Seth Green's character, Scott, just goes nuts with it and starts saying all these euphemisms and things like that.
Yeah, you could tell the writers, it's an interesting point to bring up there about the puns going all out with the satire. You could tell they made the most out of the satire genre with the names of the characters and all the puns and so forth. Did you think it was too much, or did they get it just right? Or
they got it just right. The skit with the boob satellite was kind of weird, but... Because they did the same joke in the second movie where the spaceship looks like a giant wiener.
So 22 years later, you think these jokes, they still hold up? Or
They do. These movies, I think, will be like the Bond movies. And, be, you know, they have their place, and they have their position in the zeitgeist and all sorts of things.
You know, so you mentioned, you know, how Mike Myers is doing tremendous work in here. We're talking before we went on the air that you thought Beyonce also did great.
Yeah, Beyonce did great. She was an Austin girl instead of a Bond girl. There have been a few of those, though. It's like every movie there's a new love interest, you know. Even though he was married at the end of the first movie, I don't know why. Did they get divorced in the second movie, and then he like started dating that girl in the second movie? And
don't you remember how the opening of the second movie goes?
Not really.
Like, he's, like, on the honeymoon with his love interest from the first movie, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, the love interest turns into an android, and he's like, oh, she was an android all along, and she explodes.
Yeah, there was a those are called fembots.
Fembots, that's right.
There was a fembot scene in this with Britney Spears. And Britney Spears is a fembot because they do a dance off at the beginning of the movie. And the machine guns come out of her chest, and she's like firing at him, and he catches one in his mouth, and he like starts doing his mojination thing like he did in the first movie, and her head blows up, and he goes, "Oops, I did it again."
So of the three Austin Powers girls, how would you rank Beyonce? She had any big show stealing scenes in the film? You'd say
I don't like her music, but I think she's a great actor.
Would you say pretty good part as a Austin Powers girl then?
Yeah.
Yep.
You know who my favorite Austin Powers villain was though? Who is the most disgusting of them all?
That bastard? Or
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh man.
I like that. I eat because I'm unhappy, and I'm happy because I eat. It's a vicious cycle. I like that. I like in the third one when he said, "I'm trying to go legit. I'm really serious about my sumo wrestling."
Now, the Bond movies are always associated with action scenes along with a plot, a narrative, and the spy and the sleuthing. How would you say they do the satire for the action scenes here in Austin Powers?
I like there's a scene with Michael Caine, actually. And Michael Caine goes, "Do you know how many..." There's like henchmen. He goes, "You know how many anonymous henchmen I've killed in my life? The thing is, here you go. You attack me, I'll hit you in the neck and you'll die. You attack me, I'll hit you in the neck, you'll die." And basically, they attack him one at a time, and he goes, Dr. Evil goes, "Well, what are you going to do about me?" or something like that. And then Mini-Me comes up behind him with a gun. Is Vern Troyer even still alive?
I'll look that up. I want to say I thought I heard he passed a few years ago. Let me double check that. While I do that, it's been... They cranked out these three Austin Powers movies, I want to say, within 5 or 6 years. I was surprised they haven't made another one since. Would you like them to make another one?
I would like them to make another one because they open it up for another movie at the end of this movie. Because Scott takes over basically Dr. Evil's position because Dr. Evil finds out that he's Austin Powers' brother. He goes, Foxy Cleopatra says, "Can we trust him?" And he goes, He's not shallow, baby. He's my brother." And they're all hugging and stuff. And Scott gets mad and he goes, "I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. I hate you."
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't done another one since. I didn't think they were going to make 20 some Austin Powers movies like they would with Bond movies. But I thought it would be going on for at least another two or three more.
Who played Frau?
Frau, I'll look that up. First, Vern Troyer passed away in 2018. I'll look up that. I don't know if you want to go over the budget.
Yeah, I can do that.
And Rotten Tomatoes?
The budget was $63 million. That's a lot. But the box office was $296.7 million. That is definitely paying back for your movie. Definitely. To think something that started off as just a band on Saturday Night Live. I think the Wayne's World movie, didn't do as good as Austin Powers, though, either. Because there was Wayne's World and Wayne's World 2, and they were both with Dana Carvey and Mike Myers. Mike Myers is just hilarious to begin with, and he's such a great character actor.
What was the name of that character again, Icky?
Frau.
I'm not seeing it.
It's the Frau Farbissinen or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
She plays the old... she's that old...
Mindy Sterling. Mindy Sterling.
Yeah, she plays Dr. Evil's love interest in the movie.
Yeah, it looks like she was in all three. All three. I remember her now in the movie, yeah.
It's actually... she's Scott's mother. Because in the second one, he goes back in time or something like that, and... He goes, "Number two, you look so great in the past here." And he looks at Frau, and Frau looks the same as she did in the future. And he goes, "You look so right."
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up how, Mike Myers is popular. It's so rare in the Hollywood business for an actor to pull off two big characters that in multiple roles.
Not alone four.
Yeah. Well, Mike Myers, you know, I thought for sure he was going to be typecasted as, you know, Wayne Campbell from the Wayne's World movies. He wouldn't be able to break out for a bit, but then, you know, he had a lot of success with So I Married an Axe Murderer and then doing the few even bigger success with these Austin Powers movies.
He also did The Love Guru.
Yeah. Though, as I think right around that time in the mid-2000s, he kind of hit a downslope. You really haven't heard too much from him since, like, the late 2000s.
He was also in that movie, The Cat in a Hat, Dr. Seuss's Cat in a Hat.
Yeah, I want to say that was probably his last big role.
Hopefully we see more from Mike Myers. It's like Jim Carrey, you know, we should see some more from him, but apparently he doesn't act anymore, so.
Yeah, it looks like he's just been mostly doing minor TV show appearances the last several years. I'm looking at his IMDb and
while I'm talking about it, the soundtrack to these movies is awesome. Like, it had Burt Bacharach and Elvis Costello and REM and Madonna and all sorts of stuff doing the music for these movies. They had that the vinyl song in the first movie when he's blowing up the Fembots' heads. And
yeah, they have had iconic soundtracks. And I completely neglected. I was doing a quick perusal of his filmography. He is the voice of Shrek. So that's three big characters he's responsible for.
Yeah. Austin Powers, Wayne Campbell, and Shrek.
Yeah.
I didn't like the Shrek movies. I saw Shrek 2 Shrek Forever After on TV a few months ago. It was an okay movie, but, you know, it's just... I didn't like the Shrek films.
Well, Icky, do you have any final thoughts on Austin Powers Goldmember?
Do I have any final thoughts? If you like spoofs, watch it. If you don't like spoofs, maybe you should watch it because then you'll get in the mood for James Bond June. And probably going to, you know, talk about these characters for a while in the future and... maybe do another one of the Austin Powers movie. I think if I did another one, it would be The Spy Who Shagged Me. Because I just reversed the order. Goldmember, Spy Who Shagged Me, and International Man of Mystery. Those are actually my favorite Austin Powers movies in the actual order that I think they were.
So for James Bond Jr., you're going to be doing four Bond movies and each one with a different actor who played Bond, right?
Yes. Yes, and... I don't know which films we'll be talking about as of yet. I'm still doing my research, but...
tune in.
All right, now it's time for a shout-out to our friends at Executive Properties.
Are you still putting off that project around the house that's been bugging you forever? Do you think you can wait until spring and call a contractor and have the work done ASAP? Well, good luck with that. Executive Properties has openings right now to get that project done. In fact, you can check out their Google reviews. Diane says Executive Properties did a roof project and remodeled a bathroom in our house. We were happy with their quality of work, and the projects were completed in a timely manner. We will use Executive Properties for our next home project. Get that project done sooner than later. Call Executive Properties, 701-330-1273.
All right, well, thank you for coming back to the Movie Mortuary like you do it probably every week. Next week, we're going to be doing a Robert Rodriguez film. Because we did Tarantino a few weeks ago, I decided Rodriguez needed a shout-out. We're not going to be doing Hot Cocoa Bang Bang, because that's just a fake movie skit that was on The Cleveland Show, which was a Robert Rodriguez film in the TV show. We are going to be either doing Desperado or Once Upon a Time in Mexico. I haven't decided yet. But tune in and stay weird, Grand Forks.